so prepared and tender as we just step into the Word of God. Can you guys just give the Lord permission right now to say, Lord, just speak to my heart. Convict me. Anywhere you need to speak to me. I'm here to hear, Lord. I am your sheep, and I hear your voice. In Jesus' name, God bless you guys so much. I'm glad that you are good ground. You're bearing 30, 60, and 100 fold. And this seed that's getting planted, as Dan's saying, he's just throwing the seed. Corn's going to come out. He's going to keep throwing. You're going to be receiving. So can we put our hands together? Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Neck Ministries, Archbishop.
I come here by faith. Amen. Praise God. I don't know what to do with this thing. This thing is different. I'm just going to stand here. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not that I don't like your thing, but... Everybody doing good? Good. What an awesome time this morning, huh? Just worshiping and loving and being loved. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit. Got a couple of things on my heart. Actually, Pastor was just talking about the Word. I want you to look at something in John. You guys know this scripture. Everybody could probably quote this if you've come to church at all. But I want you to look at John, the Gospel of John. Chapter 8, verse 31. See, Jesus never said, go make confessing Christians. He said, go make disciples of all nations. A disciple means a disciplined learner, a wholehearted follower. It's amazing. Jesus is so thorough. He says, go make disciples. And in John 8, he defines what a disciple is. I want you to see this in verse 31. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So he was talking to a specific group right here. He talked to the Jews who believed him. And he said, if you abide in my word, that means if you remain, if you continue in, if you dwell in. You got that? If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. He didn't say if you abide in your feelings, your emotions, your circumstances, the old way of thinking. There's something about the word that God wants to change everything we grew up with and everything we knew and thought was true and real. I just want you to get this now. The emotions and the mindset you grew up with is not what God created and intended from the beginning. It's just not. We think it's normal. We preach on it. We get so psychological. We've studied a fallen man and said this is who we are. And we're supposed to follow Jesus. We think it's normal to be emotionally up and down. We think it's normal to just be discouraged and go through seasons of discouragement. And we think it's normal to just get ticked off and angry or feel frustrated. We've believed it's normal because it's all we've known from the time we can remember. And somehow we found a way to bring Jesus into that and incorporate him into our life instead of him becoming our new life. It gets a little nervous when you talk about this stuff because people get so challenged. They get confronted by it, but it's not a hard message. It's a life-changing. It's a good message. So I can feel it a little stiff. Don't think, oh, where is he going with this? This isn't some hypo super spiritual thing. You have to understand that the way you reacted in life came from what motivated you in life. Like the foundation you live from is where everything's coming from. It's that you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think about that. The spirit of man, the inner place, that center core, that inward place. The spirit of your mind. You're renewed in the spirit of your mind. The foundation of where you live from changes. And when that changes, everything changes. Let me be real simple and practical. I'll probably have to expound on it because it sounds religious and rhetorical to us because we hear it so much. But if you wake up in the morning and all you're thinking about is your well-being and thinking for yourself, every emotional response in your life comes from the wellspring of that place.
But if you wake up surrendered and understand your life is a gift and you love not your own life unto death and you actually prefer others and consider others higher than yourself and you haven't received the gospel as a survival kit, but a transformation of life, then your emotions will automatically respond to the wellspring of your reason for being. Am I making sense? So you're not trying to change yourself. You're not trying not to be angry. You're not trying not to be afraid. You're not trying to not snap on people because it's not Christian. You're receiving through the gospel a whole new reason for being. And he washes through your mind and your understanding. And all of a sudden you wake up from a different place for a different place. And your life changes in that truth. I think we're good people that are trying too hard. I think God's got our attention and we think we need change and we're trying to change. And then you get discouraged with yourself and frustrated with yourself and tend to judge yourself, or you just say, oh, whatever, it ain't like that. We all have our issues. You do one or the other. Come on, this piece of, oh, brother, lighten up. Come on, we all have our moments. No, that's why you have yours. Because you have a grid for it. You have a landing strip. It's like this airport out here. There's a place to land, and if you notice, the planes just keep coming. You take away the landing strip, the plane has nowhere to land. You change your belief, and that same old thing can't come no more. You're in a marriage, and you just say, oh, brother, come on, we all have our moments. We all go through our go-throughs. All you're doing is justifying your flesh. You're telling yourself you're going to stay the same. Yeah, you're assuring tomorrow is always yesterday. That's how people get around the word. They yell but the word. Back home we call yell buts devils. They're devils. They're flesh justifications to stay the same. You're giving life to something that's called the die. Yeah, but. It's just human reasoning. It's rationale. It's the way that seemeth right. But it never produces life. You give yourself a right to just be frustrated with your spouse and say, yeah, but we all have our moments. And you see how much life that produces. You don't need to have a need to be right. We've been called to be like him. And the truth is, he lives in righteousness. Come on. If he lived in rightness, he's right and we're wrong and we're in trouble. But he made you stand right when you were wrong. He's righteous. He makes wrong things right. Abraham messes up big and he doesn't do anything about it. And God just appears to him and says, stand before me and be righteous. God is willing to look at Abraham through his own eyes and through God's own eyes and the promises he had, and look at him apart from what he just did with Hagar and see him for what he called him to. That's how God sees us, through his son. You read the writing of Abraham in the New Testament in Romans. It's pretty amazing testimony. It says who Abraham, he's in hope against hope. He didn't waver. He wasn't shaken. He was fully persuaded that the one that promised was able, and he continued to believe. Well, when I look in Genesis, that's not the Abraham I read. The Abraham that I read looked at Hagar, agreed with Sarah, probably didn't pray about it. Hey, Abe, I want you to go into my maidservant. Have sex with her. Get her pregnant. What? Yeah, I think that's the way we can fulfill it. Well, let me fast and pray on that. No, he probably said, serious? Really? Hagar! To the tent! Come on, be real with me. I don't think he prayed about it. I think he said, you're kidding? My wife wants me to sleep with her servant? Let's get it on. Sounds like a good idea to me. We're just talking about guys. Fallen nature, lust, flesh, come on. So when I look in Genesis, it looked like he wavered. It looked like he lost confidence and let time change his mind about truth. But you read New Testament, patriarch of faith, father of faith, didn't waver. Why? Somewhere along the way in Genesis 16, 17, he repented and said, oops, I'm locking my eyes on you and I'm going with the promise. And all heaven remembers is a repentant Abraham that locked into the promise. That's all heaven remembers. If you read in Hebrews 11, Sarah made the patriarchs of faith list. Who by faith received strength to conceive, even though she was way past the age. But if you read Genesis, she laughed at the thought. And when she was confronted by God why she laughed, she lied and said she didn't. So she laughed at the promise and lied to God in the same afternoon. And all heaven remembers is a woman of faith that received strength and conceived. Yeah. You read the account before the blood was shed and you see what they did wrong. You look at the account after the blood of Jesus was shed, speaking better things, and you see how heaven remembers them through what they became and what they yielded to. The Old Testament highlights their failure. The New Testament honors their faith, their repentance, their trust in Him. Yeah. Sounds like good news to me. I bet you heaven remembers you a certain way. Thank you, Jesus. You know, others might remember things and people you were affiliated with and certain family members that won't forget. You better make sure you forget. And you see yourself the way He sees you, through the call, the promise, and destiny. And you might be able to say, you know, I remember when it seems like I used to this and this and this, but I've been changed. Because honestly, it's not even you anymore. You have new life through Jesus Christ, and you're a brand new creation. Pastor stirred me when he shared that hepatitis story, because testimony, it's a good one. It's a truth. You step into a truth. So when you preach it, it's in the room. A guy comes up, remember last night? I'm not even thinking about whether he believes or not. I was in a store and I asked to pray for a man. He said, well, we got a problem with all that. He said, I don't believe anything you're saying. I said, we don't have a problem. I believe. Give me your hand, man. Most Christians are taught to let that shake them, and that if he don't believe, nothing can come. No, the problem is if you let what he doesn't see decide what you do see, now we have a problem. But if I got my eyes on the light of the world, I'm seeing clear. Even when he don't believe. You know, that was a pretty interesting testimony. I was in that town last summer, and they said it's still the testimony of the town that people talk about, and it stirs people, because this man was an atheist, unbelieving man, and he had a cast, and he had surgery pending in 2 days, and he wouldn't let me pray. So out of my heart, I just said, well, listen, man, you better check your hand on the way to the photography booth, because I'm going to stand here with my friend, and we're going to pray, and I believe God's changing your hand. And he's like, rolled his eyes like, whatever. I said, I got to grab my little liquid soap, my couple things, and I'm coming over to photography to check on you before we leave. He was the manager of the store. He wouldn't let me pray. He turns the corner and leaves. I grab my little stuff. We prayed. I turn the corner, and with a loud voice, he says, now you're freaking me out. Now you're making me afraid. He has his thing off, and he's going, what did you do to my hand? And I said, sir, I didn't do anything to your hand. The one that you said you don't believe in changed your hand. I said it loud in the Rite Aid, very loud. I said, sir, just because you don't believe in him doesn't mean he's not real. I've been with him. Oops. And I said, that one, Jesus, the Lord. And in his store, because he started it with a loud voice, I wasn't trying to take over the store. He yelled across with a loud voice, so I answered across with a loud voice. And then the person that was with me was a resident there, and he went back in after I had to leave and ministered to him, and the guy came around and gave his life to Jesus. But his hand completely restored with no surgery. Why? I was in the store wearing the brace, boasting ignorantly, without realizing it, boasting in his unbelief. Didn't faze God at all. It's amazing how solid he is. Amen. Yeah. He didn't say, oh, well, I perceive unbelief. I guess I can't move here. He's not looking for faith in them. He's looking for faith in us. These signs shall follow those that believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall. It doesn't say unless, of course, the sick won't claim me or confess me or believe me. You guys good? So there's something I want to do. You stirred it in me. It's your fault. So if it don't go well. No, I'm kidding. The gospel goes well. Did you see what I read you earlier? If you abide in my word, you're my disciple indeed, you shall know the... It's a heart knowledge. It's like an epinosis type knowledge. It's a revelatory, experiential, it's knowing. It's an alive knowing. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's he loves me. It's different. Wow, he's for me. Wow, I don't ever have to fear again. It's his pleasure to give me the kingdom. And I've received into me all that he is. I'll never be alone again. I'll never be afraid again. I'll never be forsaken again. It's impossible to be rejected even by men. I've been accepted in the Beloved and he's called me to love all men. Even if they're rejecting, I'll weep for them. Even if they're obstinate, I'll show them mercy. God, who you are, is alive in me. That's the knowing I'm talking about. Come on. Sure beats just ministry. Doing ministry. I've seen countless people hurt doing ministry. So we're doing ministry, representing him, revealing we don't really know him like we could. Trying to do a good thing for him, sometimes apart from who he is. This is messy. Is that all right? You safe with that? I'm not being harsh. I'm just being real. We feel this duty to proclaim him. Come on, become like him. If you're not pursuing becoming like him, you'll let proclaiming him take the place of knowing him, and your ministry will be your identity, not Christ in you. And you'll only be doing as good as things are rolling instead of good as he is in you every day. Yeah? There's something I want to do. We prayed for, obviously, I was here. I don't think I've done this here, actually, last year, maybe even the year before. But we're going to do it today. We're going to pray. And this afternoon, I feel this in my heart. It's rare, I know, ahead of time, but I said it at the cave. But I feel like we're going to talk about the perspective of faith this afternoon. And it's going to be really helpful, I believe, and important. So if you can be here, whoever comes, comes. But right now, I want to do this. Who knows what 1 Corinthians 5:17 says? Anybody offhand? Yeah? Okay, good girl. If any man be in Christ, woman, man, woman, he or she is a what? Now watch. Old things, behold, it's power of God. Behold. How many things? All things become new. There's no condemnation in Christ. Mercy's triumphed over judgment. I want you to see this. This is good. I'll do this. Yeah. Thank you. Romans 5. This will be good. You'll like this. And we're just going to pray for some folks. And you know how we kept it real dry last night? Today I'll probably use Miss Kim if she's willing. Yeah, I'll have you up there in a minute with me if you're willing. And if not, it's okay. I'm not offended. Romans 5. Yeah, it's just she'd be a blessing. That's the thing. We appreciate each other. Amen. Yeah. Honestly, you get to a place in your heart, you actually believe me and Jesus can get it done. I promise you, me, Kim, and Jesus, more than enough. Amen. Verse 6, Romans 5. When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now check this out. For scarcely, for even a righteous man, will one die? Yep, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Someone would even dare to die for a good man. You know how people say, oh, I wish that was me. Wow, I wish it was me instead of them or something like that. But it's scarce. It's rare. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How's that possible? Where's that love come from? See, it's very important you understand the love of God, and it's not just a mystery to you. The reason it shouldn't be a mystery is because unless you see His first love, your heart won't respond in the same thing. You don't love God first. You see God's first love. So if God's preached in a way where you're going, well, I can't imagine He loves me, but I'm glad He does. I don't know why. Your heart will never be empowered and changed by the gospel. You'll actually feel indebted to Him because you believe He died, but you won't understand why and you won't be empowered. And you'll be reduced to serving Him instead of loving Him. I've heard countless Christians in my 21 years say, I can't imagine why God would love me. Why do they say that? It's human reasoning. They base their value on the life they know. God bases your value on what He created you to be. God knows your destiny. He knows your potential. He knows what you look like when He's in you and you're surrendered. He thinks it's worth paying for. Yeah? He didn't pay a price for you because you're a sinner. He paid a price to get it off of you because you're not created for it. He became a lie on that tree. He became sin. That ain't who He is. He was made to be sin so you could stand right in the sight of God. God didn't... You guys don't have a cross back here? You're so different. Everybody has a cross there. So, hey, there's one right there. Where? On the picture. Where? There. Nobody can see that. Make a cross in your mind. Listen, this is awesome. I'm just messing with you. I always go like this when I say on the cross, because every church you go to's got this big cross. Except for Redemption House. They send their kids to children's church at 9:15. Never seen anything like it. It's awesome. Watch this. God didn't curse His Son on the cross. He made His Son to be sin. And He cursed what was killing us. He cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over us. For the law of the Spirit of life through Christ made me free from the law of sin and death. Come on! So the blood of Jesus was shed to bring mercy and forgiveness toward the act of sin committed. But the body of Jesus beaten brutally to pay the price to remove the penalty in our flesh of those sins. That's why you eat the flesh and you drink the blood of King Jesus and receive life. Yeah? Oh, it's a big deal. We're quick on the forgiveness of sins. What about restoration and redemption? What about wholeness? What about new life through Jesus Christ? Redemption brought back, bought back to original value, as if sin never was, as if sin never happened. The gospel excites me. You can see how I don't do well staying calm, but I feel like I'm doing good. I'm sitting on an airplane. I try to get my composure. They ask me how I'm doing. So why were you in town this weekend? Traveling? Business? What? Pleasure? Well, I don't know what you call it, but it was fun. Well, why were you here? And I think I'm being super reserved. Because you don't want to freak them out. I'm not trying to make them think I'm weird or starry-eyed or flighty. But two sentences come out of my mouth and they go, whoa, you're really passionate. Like, you're really serious about what... I said, oh my goodness, do you see passion in me? Yeah. I say, that's amazing because I'm trying to stay real settled down for you. Like, really settled down. And then I share a little more and almost always he'll have me go, listen, what's going on right here down the left side of your... What is that? What do you mean? Why is that hurt there all the time? Are you on meds? Oh, my God. Tell you what. Shh. Just let me see your hand. It's a lot. Yeah. Why? Because you called the shine. You're alive in Him. It's not about your flight schedule and if you're on time and your connection's short. And wonder if I got to stay in Atlanta and oh, bummer. And what's wrong with me and what door did I open to be tormented like this by the devil? And... and you wrap all your faith and all your language around you having a better, smooth, convenient day instead of loving people. And all of a sudden, your Christianity's exposed as it's really you're a Christian for you and convenience and blessing. I said it, didn't I? Instead of a Christian for His great name, the kingdom, and others. Why are you frustrated if your flight's delayed? Why do you lose your disposition and joy? It's a flight. There's people all around you. You have a life to live in God. It's not your own, remember? God's not sitting on the throne going, oh, their flight's delayed. Duh! How did this happen? I run everything. What? Michael Gabriel, work on it. Get him on a plane. Come on. I see people freak out when their flight's delayed. Live from moment to moment and only as good as things are going. Don't you be a Christian that lets life speak louder than truth. And just be a product of what you're going through. You be a product of what He went through. And you walk in the honor of the cross and the resurrection of the Son of God. And you be a whole lot more than your circumstances. Because He's a lot more inside of you. Yeah. But God demonstrated His own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood. Justified. Just as if you've never sinned. Come on. Just as if you've never... Is that what justified means? Justified, just as if you've never sinned. I was running through Maryland. I was on some back roads heading to Delaware. My GPS took me in a road I was never on. And I trust her. She has an Australian accent. She's awesome. She says, turn right. And I say, yes, ma'am. I just love it. She says, her name's Karen. I told my wife I've been traveling with Karen every weekend. She's like, what? She's on my GPS or in it. She's in it. I think she's born again. She never gets frustrated. She has no attitude. She's amazing. I can make a wrong turn. And she says, recalculating. Real sweet. Recalculating. She just reroutes me, man. She's awesome. She's awesome. But she took me on this road, and it was the right road. It was the right road. And I'm cruising along. And do you know how when you're on a road you've never been on, and you're looking at your GPS, and you're just glancing, and you're not, you might miss a speed zone change or something. Did you ever notice how some of these townships, I'm like, Lord, I just don't think this is cool. They'll have it like 45 or 55 forever, and almost for no reason, it'll change to 35 for about four city blocks. And that's where the policeman's sitting. And then you go through, and you don't even know what you really went through. And they might have a reason for it, because there was a main entrance to some city. They cranked you down, but then boom, all of a sudden you're back to 45, 55. Well, I went through one of them. And I was like, bummer. Like, I wasn't just, I'm not like Racer Rick out there, you know? I was just driving. But I was looking, and the whole time, I was in a 55, and then it was 45 for a long time, and then it was 55. And I'm like, I felt like I was on the same road. But all of a sudden, I went by this policeman in a driveway. And I looked down, and I was like, whoa, okay, I'm probably good. I'm going right around 50, 51. I touched my brakes a little, maybe 52. I said, man, I wonder what I'm in, what speed zone I'm in. Because I was looking at my GPS. It was pretty innocent. I'm cruising, and all of a sudden, he pulls out of the driveway. That's not a good sign. Like, when you pass him, and then he pulls out, it's like, is he coming my way? And I'm driving, and all of a sudden I saw the speed limit change to 45. And I went, oh my goodness, it was under 45? Oh, this isn't good. Because I know I was going 50, 51, maybe 2. And he's following me the whole time out there, and we passed the speed change, and I'm looking in my mirror. You know how that is, you're looking in your mirror. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, whoop, whoop. I'm like, duh. So I turned into a development because there wasn't really a shoulder. And I turned and he comes right in behind me. I'm not used to being on that end of the deal. You know, he's sitting behind me. I'm like, ooh. In fact, I hadn't had a speeding ticket since I was like 21 or something. I learned the hard way. I got 3 in a year. Nobody wanted to give me insurance. And my wife was mad. And I was young and just married, and it wasn't good to have your wife mad when you're 20. You want her happy. No matter what, you want her happy. But it wasn't good. So I learned the hard way, but I definitely learned. So he comes up, do you know how fast you were going? Sir, I don't have a clue. I'm on a road I've never been on. And man, I apologize. I must have missed the did it speed. And he said, well, yeah, you were in a 35. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. He said, where are you heading? I said, to preach the gospel. He said, well, I'll be back. I said, oh. He went, he came back, he wrote me up, he gave me a pretty hefty fine. And he said, you were going 52 the first time. He said, we always check you twice. Second time you were going 50. So I realized you saw me, you were slowing down. I said, well, honestly, you did trigger me to, because I glanced at my GPS. I'm trying not to read it and watching where I'm going, but I must have missed the speed change. I said, sir, that road was 55 most of the way. 45, even 50 in a 45, you probably wouldn't have stopped me. He said, well, you were doing 52 in a 35, and I marked you for 50. I said, well, thanks. So I left and preached Jesus that weekend. I wasn't condemned. He loves me. It was an accident. I got home, and I read my options. So I pleaded guilty with an explanation. And they sent me a thing. I had to drive the whole way down there. And I went to court. And I wasn't going to fight. I was going to plead guilty with an explanation. It was an option. I thought, man, that's pretty good. Get that off my record. I have a clean record. So I go in there and, man, I mean, I'm not used to being on this side. The judge is up there, and we're all in a little box of seats waiting. We're the guilty group, man. I'm used to living innocent. I'm spotless. I wake up every day stainless. accepted into beloved. And for this morning, I am marked among them. I mean, we are violators. And I'm sitting there. And I got up. He called my name. I said, oh, here we go, Lord. So I walked up. He said, you're Daniel Mueller? I said, yes, Your Honor. He said, you were clock going 50 and a 35. You're pleading guilty with an explanation. What's your explanation? I said, well, sir, in all honesty, I said, I haven't had a ticket since I was like 20 or 21. I did bring my driving record, and I was on a brand new road, and I just got caught off guard, man. I'm just telling you, I'm not a 50 and a 35. And he said, where were you heading? I said, well, I'm a pastor. You're a pastor. Wow, where do you pastor? And I told him. He just clicked his gavel and said, guilty without probation. And he said, next. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, excuse me, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I'm not used to all this. I don't mean to distract, but what is guilty? I don't understand the terms. He said, it means all you have to do is pay the cost for today. We waived everything, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, so like, this won't even show up on my insurance, my points. No, he's a judge sitting there with a gavel. I had the most spiritual experience. It's going to make me cry now. I said, so this won't show up on insurance, driving record. He said, sir, it's like it never happened. And I went, Spirit of God, in the courtroom, just hit me. I was like ready to preach, you know. Guys, this is what it's like. The gospel. I'm standing there and all of a sudden I'm just clean. I'm not an offender. I did it. But I'm justified. Just as if it never happened. And the Lord said, that's how I see you. That's how I see everyone. Through my son, through my blood, through true repentance. You came, your guilty explanation, didn't mean it, wish I wouldn't if I could do it over. I go and they print out my little thing and I head out through and I have to go pay my court costs, so I get in the line. This lady's waiting for me outside the door. She's real nervous because she's not used to being on that side either. So she said, sir, you were so bold. I said, what? She said, you spoke to the judge. You asked him the question I wanted to ask. Because he told me I was guilty without probation. They put in me a slip and I headed out. And I was like, what does that mean? She said, and I was trying to leave and I heard you, because I got my printout and you, I heard you say, excuse me, Your Honor, what does that mean? But I didn't want to hang at the door because I thought I'd get yelled at. So I took off out into the hall. People are just freaked out around that legal stuff, right? So she's out there. I come out and she says, we're in the line, right? She says, what does it mean? It's like, did you ever see a pull cord dog? That's me right now. She said, so what does that mean? I said, well, honey, loud. Well, honey, it's just like the gospel of Jesus. And let me tell you the revelation I got in that courtroom, see? Because X amount of years ago, Jesus washed me and justified me and made me like nothing ever happened. And guilty without probation means that the court system sees you today. The judge justified you, acquitted you, vindicated you, cleared you. And it'll never show up on a record. It'll never show up on your insurance, your driver record. It's exactly like the blood of Jesus. It's the justice of righteousness. And I was preaching to her and she's like, wow. I said, yeah, honey. I hope you know him. I hope you've let Jesus do that same thing in your life, not just the judge in your driving record. And everybody's listening. And it just was fun. So I just preached the gospel. See, here's what I'm saying to you. Watch this. For while we were enemies, You were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Ah, it's 20 after 12. That shook me. Much more. I don't know what just happened there. Something got on my watch. I'll be good. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You were reconciled while an enemy. Now you're not an enemy if you're reconciled. And if we've been reconciled while an enemy, how much more will we be sozoed, saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound through His life? Here's the point. Vindication, redemption, justification, just as if you never sinned, means exactly that. Old things pass away, all things become new. So why would I call people up with hepatitis? Because of the normal way you receive it is lifestyle. Normally, it's lifestyle, misconduct, promiscuity, contaminated needle. Just living in places you're not called to live, but you live there and the thing bit you and got in you. Now you're born again. Born again. So the old man dies and the new man lives. You go into the waters of baptism to express that you're dying to everything you've ever been and you're coming up newborn, new birth, new baby, yay, new life. So here's the problem I've had in my heart for a long time, and I've addressed it and prayed, and I've got countless testimonies. I've seen four people now had butchered themselves with suicide attempts, and Jesus just took all the marks off their body right at the altar. Right at the altar. I've seen cutter's scars disappear at the altar. Girls that would only wear long-sleeved shirts and they were embarrassed because they butchered their arms and they didn't want to explain it anymore. I was just in New York and a former heroin addict standing there. She's burned and cut the whole way up and down. And in this arm, she took a razor blade and checkmarked herself. She had 100 checkmarks. She was checking off the days of despair and gloom and sorrow. Another day. She got born again, came up to the altar. Jesus must have took His amazing hand and wiped down over her and took every check mark off of her body. I've seen countless hepatitis, countless STDs taken out of people's bodies. Why? Because of this gospel of redemption. Now here's the point. You want to help me? Come on up and help me, kiddo. Thank you. I mean, you look pretty comfortable there with your man, but thanks for releasing. I liked what she wrote on the CD. She called you her best friend. Man, that's good, Steve. That made me touched. I could cry now. That's good. Best friend. She wrote to my husband, my best friend. Listen, in this room, you could have conducted your life in a way where you're not that person anymore. You're saying, you know what? And here's what qualifies this redemption thing. It's a change of heart. It's a change of life. Watch. All you have to do is say this one thing. Man, if I could go back and make a different decision, I would. Knowing what I know now, seeing what I see now, if I could go back and rewrite the book of yesterday in my life, it would look different. I wouldn't have been where I was. I wouldn't have done what I was. I wouldn't have been with who I was. Why? Because you're changed. Now watch this. You can never go back and change what you've done. Bummer, right? It seems like, regret eats us alive. It's the world's way of handling things. And there's no hope in regret. But I'll tell you what, you might not be able to go back and change what you did, but you can change. You can change. And watch this principle of the truth and justification. When you change, the Bible teaches me that God will never judge you for where you've been. He will judge you for who you've become. So if God Himself would never judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been still judging you? If old things pass away and all things become new. It's in the power of the blood. It's in the power of His love. Come on. You're saved. You're born again. You're filled with the Spirit. You got a family and you're dying in your liver of hepatitis. Are you kidding me? It's not the will of God. You're not a drug user anymore. You're not promiscue anymore. You're finally in a place to run the race. And you're going to tell me that God ordains you to die from the sin of yesterday when He forgave it and removed all unrighteousness? Not today, friend. And the gospel won't preach that way tomorrow either. He gives new life through Jesus Christ. I've seen two people in my life that were impaired and immobile from drunk driving accidents, paralyzed, come to life and come alive through this message. The one young man had braces on. He had leg things on. And I looked in his eyes and I said, "How'd this happen?" He said, "Drunk driving." I said, "Do you drive drunk anymore?" "No, I don't even drink." "You don't even drink?" "No." "You born again?" "Yes, sir." "He's changed my life." I said, "If you could go back and change that night and do it over, you would, wouldn't you?" "Yeah." "Then be healed in Jesus' name." He began to shake and cry. It was so dramatic. He began to pull off the things off his arms. He just started to cry. It was so dramatic. And he kept saying, "I have brand new arms. I have brand new arms." I said, "You have new life through Jesus Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." We had a lady in our church. Her liver was swelling. She was on hepatitis meds and she was dying, and she was on the transplant list for a new liver. She got a hold of this message and she freaked out in her car. She was on the way to an appointment. She was tired of appointments. She was over her head with appointments and language and "you're gonna die" and her three little kids. She's finally not using heroin. She's finally not selling her body. She's finally in the place God has wooed her and longed for her to be. She's finally ready to be a mother. She's a woman of God. And you're going to tell me that the blood of Jesus isn't speaking better things than death through hepatitis? When all things are new. "Yeah, but brother, I brought it upon myself." That's why I teach this as a separate message. Because the Lord said people think they earned what they received, but I prayed a higher price to get that thing they purchased off of them. Come on. When do you get what you deserve? If you're going to settle, you get hepatitis because you deserve it, then you ought to have hell and judgment because you deserve it. Why would you receive forgiveness if you won't receive restoration for your actions? Oh, I'm just preaching good in this house right now. I feel the gospel everywhere. I'm just telling you. Listen, it's going to get late. We don't need to, this ain't some charismatic show. This is real deal. This is business, and I need you serious. I need you in your heart to know that you're saying this. If I could go back and change some things that marked me, I would. But I can't. So there ain't no sense thinking about it or talking about it. But I put my faith in this one thing. He's given me new life, a new heart, and I'm a different person. So that thing from yesterday has no landing strip, no right, no power. Today, it has to leave my life. And the reason you walk up here is because you're making a statement. You're not condemned. You're making a statement. This is not who I am. And it has to leave in Jesus' name. Now, if I'm talking to you, you get up here quickly. Any blood disease, any marks on your body, any memory damage, long term, short term. Thanks for running. That was powerful. That was so good. Man, I'm telling you, He's going to do that in you. Thanks for running. That was good. There was just something good about your run. Father, I thank You, washed clean and new. As if she's never eaten that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She's never lived one day of rebellion. Man, I feel like you heard that word a lot when you were a teenager and almost marked as the rebellious one. And God says, no, 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 you're mine. You're my girl. I've been wooing and drawing your heart. Rebellion will not pay a price in your life. Neither will your actions, neither will your ways. Because I've made my ways your ways. And I've put my thoughts inside of you, says the Lord. And I believe it's Him, the Lord Jesus, that's washing you right now, making you clean. Not one mark from yesterday, God. Brand new life through Jesus Christ. Come on, guys, get up here if you need to. Night terrors, things in the night. You're having flashbacks and you can't sleep. It's caused some trauma thing. I need you up here. I saw that. I need you up here. Is that you? Yeah? Good. Thanks for jumping. Memory loss. You went out on a binge. You went a little farther than you've ever went. You came through it, but you're not the same. You know your concentration's not there. You know your memory's not there the same. Come on. I need you up here. Get up here. Don't be ashamed. Get up here. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a good fisherman. I'll catch every fish in the room. Come on, I need you up here. This is not a time of shame. This is a time of redemption. This is a time of restoration. Okay, there's a lot of you. I probably won't lay hands on all of you, but I'm just going to pray. But I need you all to look up here quickly. Look up here at me right now. This is a very important moment. I need you to make one answer before the Lord. If you could go back and change the reason you're standing here, would you make a different choice if you could do it over again? Would you do different? That's all you need to know in your heart right now. Guys, I'll tell you how merciful God is. Can I tell you how merciful God is? This lady called my office years ago pastoring. She knew me well. I'm her pastor. She said, would you pray with me for Thursday? I said, it was Tuesday. What's Thursday? She said, I have a surgery scheduled on Thursday. I said, honey, you got me a little puzzle. The surgery's Thursday. It's Tuesday. And you're asking me to pray for the surgery. What are we praying for? And why aren't we just praying to be made whole? She started crying out of control. And I said, what's going on, girl? She said, 6 months ago, the Lord told me I'm eating out of temperance, that I'm out of control, and I need to stop this habit. I'm hurting my body. I ignored Him and kept doing it for 6 months. I've totally ruined my gallbladder. They're going to remove it. I have this coming to me, Dan. God will walk me through because He loves me. But I cost myself my gallbladder by disobeying the Lord. I said, okay, I get all that reasoning and rationale, but I bet you learned a vital lesson. I bet you'll listen from now on, huh? She said, yes. She's bawling, right? I said, I need to ask you a question. I said, if you could go back 6 months and redo this thing, and you got a chance to do it over, she knows she can't, right? She heard it as a slap in the face. She was missing my heart bad. She yelled at me on the phone. She said, oh, well, that's just great. Stick a knife in my heart. What kind of condemnation is that, Dan? I can't do anything about it. Why would you even ask me that question? I said, man, I love your response. I guess your answer's yes. She said, well, of course I would do different. I said, then I got good news for you. I'm not even talking to the lady that disobeyed. I'm talking to a lady that's been changed. I said, you know what? You learned a painful lesson, but a lesson nonetheless. I bet you'll heed His voice from now on, and I bet His mercy will triumph over judgment, and I bet He'll save your gallbladder if we pray. She's crying out of control. We prayed, and I said, do me one favor and do you one favor. Don't let them do surgery. Have them completely check your gallbladder first, and if your insurance won't pay for a retest, we'll pay for it. The church will pay. She said, okay. She hung up. Thursday, I'm leading intercession at noon. Bunch of women seeking Jesus, couple men, bunch of women. It was fun. Worship leader comes in. He starts twirling down, dancing down, and we're worshiping and praying and we're interceding. And I'm thinking, well, this is going to be good. He wouldn't be coming if it wasn't good. He just passes me a phone note as he twirls and goes back out. It was just so funny. I read it. Her name was Jackie. She said, "Hey, Pastor Dan, it's Jackie. I'm on my way home. I don't need any surgery. They said my gallbladder's fine. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Thank you, Jesus." I just stood there and wept. Said, "What a merciful, redemptive God." Guys, she had it coming to her. She earned it. She made her bed, sleep in it. She made her bed, guys. We hear that her whole life. You made your bed, lie in it. No, He made a brand new one. And He's got clean sheets on the thing. And He wants you to sleep tight in that bed. He doesn't want you in the bed of yesterday, the bed of sorrows, regrets, and mourning. And He wants you in the bed of sinful behavior and the repercussions of it. He wants you in His bed of mercy. So we're getting in it today. Amen? Lift your hands to heaven with me. Say, "Father, I believe You love me. And You forgive me of everything I've ever done. I marked myself. You know it. But it's not me anymore. It's not who I want to be. It's not who I'm going to be by Your grace. So thank You today for letting the blood of Your Son and the name of Your Son, King Jesus, wash me clean. Brand new creature, standing before You as if I've never sinned. Spirit, soul, and body, blameless till You come." It's just good. Lift your hands high. "I receive it. You love me." Holy Spirit, come right now. Just breathe through every person in this place. That's right. Redemption, as if you've never sinned, as if you've never sinned, as if you've never sinned, son. As if you've never sinned. Every scar, every mark, every memory, every effect, come out of Him. Don't you ever touch Him. Restore His mind, His faculties, His ability to function, to think, to comprehend, to process. I speak clarity of mind and soul over you, young man. As if you've never hurt yourself, God redeems today. In Jesus' name, receive it, people. Wholeness, 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 wholeness. Wholeness. Not one mark. Not one mark from yesterday. Are you kidding me? Old things have passed away. And all things, all things, all things, people, all things become new. I just bless you and I pray over you all right now. Be completely made whole. Completely clean. It's good. The tears that are here are good tears. They're not tears of regret. They're tears of acceptance and love and mercy and joy. Never again. Be absolutely clean. Be absolutely free. Washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's all right. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be absolutely clean, every person in this place. Be washed. No regrets. I hear this. No regrets. No looking back. It's not you. No regrets. No unforgiveness towards yourself. No more, "You dummy, why'd you have to?" No. Let that language go, people. He loves you, and He's changing you. In Jesus' name. It's so good. He is. to Him. Oh, and not like a man sees a woman, but like God sees His children.
We'll never be the same way.
In this
world. We'll never be the same way.
In your life.
Declare that. I'll never be the same way. I'll never be the same way. I'll never be the same way.
Looking back, no frets. Yesterday, I declare it gone in your life, Roxy. Yeah, you ain't got time for yesterday. You got a new day in front of you. You got a lover called Jesus, and you got a husband called Freddie. You got a new life in front of you, girl. And you're going to live it whole, productive, and free. No secrets, no bondages, no darkness. I declare it. And I'm saying this over you. In the next year of your life, your testimony is going to be, I never knew it could be this good. I never really knew that it could be this free. And people are going to see you shine. Oh, they love the Roxy, they know. But they're about to see the Roxy that's becoming. I'm telling you, there's a Roxy that's rising up. I almost see it out of ashes. That's becoming the woman of God. Your heart's longed for and God has promised. And you're going to walk in this grace, girl. And you're going to manifest the giftings of God that are upon your life. And you, and I'm not just talking about children in your life, and children to Freddie, you are going to be a fruitful vine in the Spirit.
Yes.
And you're going to have children. Children that are birthed after the thing God's doing in you. You're going to be encouragement to very many young ladies. I see you having a voice with teenage girls that want to give up. And I see you helping people with the way you've been helped, Roxy. And I just see the days of yesterday are over. You are not a struggling girl. You are a woman of God. God, I worship you. One more time with me before you sit down. Would you lift your hands to Him and thank Him? Would you just thank Him that He makes things new? Would you thank Him that He's total forgiveness, that He's total mercy, that He loves you unfailingly, that He makes all things new?
You make all things new.
Yeah.
You make all things new.
Hey. You make it all new. I gotta touch you. Yeah. No torment. No more torment. Yup, you're not a target. No, you're not a target to be hit except by God's love. And I just declare freedom in the nighttime, freedom in your memories, and freedom in your thoughts. You're not a woman of bondage, you're a woman of freedom. And there is no way from this day forth you are ever called to pay a price for the things that were. He paid a price to make you free. You're going to sleep through the night like never before. In fact, your sleep's actually going to shorten. You're going to sleep less time and be more energized. You watch. I know when I hear this stuff. You're going to close your eyes and you're going to be gone. And you're going to pop open your eyes like a charged battery. And the only memory you'll have is His love. Father, I thank You for redemption in her life. In Jesus' name. Really good. You just know when He's doing it. Okay. I'm done. I'm going to hand this. I'm just going to. I want Tracy. This is on my heart. No, I want you. If that's okay. I want you to pray over the house God's blessed you with and pray over the people you love so much. Just pray. God will pray for you. I just feel like you're to close this out and be a mama and just pray. Be a friend. Yeah, I feel like He's giving you a gift. Look. He's giving you a gift. Look at this. He's giving you a gift. I want you to pray over the house that you love. Okay? Yeah, I heard your name specifically. Yeah. Jesus.
So Lord, I just thank you for each one, Father God, and each one right where they're at, Lord. You just come in and continue, Father, the good work that you are so faithful to finish in us, that we are in your image, Lord. And that we just long, as you woo us, we just long for more, more transformation, Papa. You are a blessed son and you are a blessed daughter. We just thank you, Father God, for everything that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Love so much, Papa. You just love us so much, Lord.
I give you all my worship. I give you